Our key verse, the title this morning is Hindrances to the Church, Part 3. Now, we've already talked about some of this. A few scriptures we'll go back over, and then I've got some new ones too. But we talked about the biggest hindrances to the church is willful unbelief and rebellion, right? So he said here, this is Jesus talking. He asked him who he was. Peter had a revelation knowledge. It wasn't just something that he had knowledge. This knowledge came by revelation. And he says, and I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So just that verse alone there tells me the devil's not the biggest problem for the church.
Right.
The gates of hell is not the biggest problem of the church.
Right.
People is the biggest problem of the church.
Right.
He goes on and he says, I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom. Excuse me. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now, this is not quite big enough for me to say all my stuff. Figure out where I want to go here. I guess let's go back to Ephesians 5. Now, we've read this a few times, but we're going to read it again this morning. Verse 22 says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, and the way you do that, as unto the Lord. Because God, he set up the family, the man is the head. You know, we got this. We've been talking about the church. Jesus is the head of the church. The man is the head of the family and all that. And it takes faith to submit to somebody. Because the very definition of submit means to give into or surrender to another's authority, to put oneself under another's authority. What that means is, I totally disagree with you. Sometimes I totally disagree with Scotty's decision or something he's saying or doing or whatever. But by faith, because he is in the place of the authority over me, I submit myself to him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it says, wives, submit to your own husbands as unto the Lord. Because God takes it whenever I don't, I'm not submitting to God. Y'all remember whenever, I'm trying to think of their name now.
Miriam.
What?
Miriam.
Yeah. Miriam and Aaron began to talk about Moses.
Right.
And what did God say? He said, told him, he said, I heard what you said about me. They said, we didn't say, I'm paraphrasing, we didn't say nothing about you.
Right.
We was talking about Moses. Well, God takes it personally, but why? Because he's the one that sets people in places of authority. And anytime we come against that or rebel against that or whatever and won't submit, he takes it personally. So he says, verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife. That doesn't mean he's the boss. Doesn't mean he's smart or anything else. It means he's the one that has the place of the head just because that's the way God chose it. It says, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as is Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Now, of course, if Scotty come and said, you know, we're going to rob a bank, I'm not going to rob no bank with him. Why? The Bible says don't steal.
Right.
You know, I mean, so I've got written word on that. I don't have to get a word from the Lord, you know. Now that, I can't do that. Why? Because number one, you're going to cause me to go against what God said. Y'all remember whenever they was preaching, I think it was Peter and John, was preaching anyway, they got that guy healed and they got thrown in jail and they told him, don't preach anymore in this name. What'd they tell him? Okay, we won't.
No.
They said, you figure out for yourself. You know, we got to. We're going to. Well, but the Bible says obey the civil authorities that are over you, though. Well, but you can't disobey God. You see what I'm saying? So something like that, no, I can't disobey, obey him robbing a bank or anything. Now, is there ever a time that Scotty is supposed to submit to me?
No.
Never. Because, see, the type has to fit. Jesus is making the parallel here. The church operates and functions just like a family because, in actuality, you are a family. You get born again, God becomes the Father of us all. We all have one Father, right? One Father, one baptism, one Lord, all of that stuff. And so, therefore, Scotty is never supposed to submit to me, ever. Why? because I don't have the place that he has. Because remember, the definition of submission is you put yourself under someone else's authority. I can never have the authority of a man because I'm not a man. I don't care. Listen, and you can't be a man if you're not born one. I don't care what you try to do, say, or anything. You don't even think like a man. Scientifically proven, what is it? Man thinks left brain, woman thinks with the right brain because we're always right. Just kidding. Well, y'all was quick on that one, huh?
You got that off.
And y'all heard that before, and I've said it in kidding, you know. I think Monty said it too here a while back. If mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. Ungodly statement.
Right.
Why is it an ungodly statement? Because if mama ain't happy, everybody else ain't going to be happy, then that means mama runs the house. And that's never okay. Why do I say that? Because just like he says, it's a type. Does Christ ever submit to the church? Does he ever submit to the body?
No.
See, the type has to fit. We can't make it that we wear knickers, you know. What that means is, well, Scotty submits to me and I submit to Scotty. Well, on what day? Tuesday, Scotty submits to me, and Wednesdays I submit to him. See, that don't even make no sense, does it?
Right.
But yet, because we live in such a dysfunctional society, people don't even know how the family is supposed to be.
Right.
A lot of them. I mean, there's some of them that they do. You know, so, I mean, we're having to teach people today what is a functional, godly family. Because a lot of places, there is a very lot of women that they run everything. And that is one of the problems that me and Scotty had before we got saved is because, you know, and that's one reason why we would fight so much and everything, because I'm going to do what I want to do. And he's going to do what he wants to do. And having us, that just doesn't work. So therefore, our entire family was completely dysfunctional. And one thing that happened when we got born again is God began to put our lives, our family, in order. He began to teach me that's not my place, that's his place, began to teach me what my place is. Now, does that mean because the husband is the head that the wife has to just stay home and cook and clean and be a slave? Absolutely not. Guys better remember who their wives is. Now, we are supposed to be like Proverbs 31, women, right? That woman's got a job. She takes care of her family. She takes care of her husband. All her family's needs are met through whatever it is that she does, plus she makes money. Right? Y'all remember reading all of that?
Yep.
Now let's read on here. It says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. That is a tall order. You'll be working on that for the rest of your life.
Right.
Us women will try to be helpful. If y'all knew it, I'll be so bad. Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church. Husbands, when we look good, y'all look good. Not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, even as the Lord the church. So we see here, Jesus nourishes and cherishes the church. How does he nourish the church?
His word.
Yes, and one of the ways that he's doing that this morning is exactly what we're doing. We're all here together in fellowship. He sent us his word. I'm speaking his word. We're all receiving his word. He's nourishing. The Bible says, desire the sincere milk of the word. Why? That you may grow thereby. There's people today that they have no concept that when you get born again, you just started your journey.
Right. Right.
The Bible calls you a newborn babe. You need the milk of the word. You need teachers over you. You need leadership over you. Because you don't. It's not like a natural baby. You can stay a spiritual baby 60, 70, 80 years, all your life.
Sure can.
He goes on here and he says, verse 30, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife. Listen, there should not be two wives that lives in one house.
Right.
There should not be two husbands that lives in one house. Now, I'm not talking about just like Travis. If he got sick or hurt and he couldn't work for a while, yeah, sure. I mean, something like that, yeah. But We told Travis before he got married, and don't pattern after us. We try to do things according to the word. And one of the things that we told him is, when the day you leave here and you get married, you don't come back. Mm-hmm. Y'all ain't saying nothing.
Right.
You don't come back. Why? Because what you're telling me is, you are now a man, and you're going to go get you a wife. Well, then be a man, get her a house, pay your own bills, and don't be dragging those scraggly kids up in here either for me to take care of. Why? That's ungodly.
Right.
That's unchristlike. Y'all get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now, like I said, if there's circumstances, hurt, can't work, something like that, but if you're just a bum and you don't want to work and you want to blow all your money or whatever and live in my house and suck up my air conditioner, I don't think so. That's ungodly. That's not being a man. See, a lot of people think today being a man becomes when you're 18. I know 60-year-old men that are not men. Why? A real man handles his business. He don't look to other people to do it. One of Scotty's in business for himself. So one of the things that I absolutely, I want to crawl through the phone sometimes is when there's a problem. There was one here a while back. They didn't want that big lift that Scotty has put on their cement. So they said, okay, you know. Well, he backed up to the door to load the trash on the trailer. So on her camera, it looked like he backed up to unload that lift. So anyway, guess who calls? The husband, right?
Nope.
No. The wife called. The wife called, and she's telling Scotty this and wants to know that and everything. And then she keeps telling him, yes, he did. And he said, no, he didn't, and all this stuff. So they're going back and forth a little bit. And then she says, would you be willing to talk to my husband? And the whole time I'm like, are you serious? Y'all not saying nothing. If I have a problem with somebody, or Scotty has a problem with somebody, he don't ask me to call him.
Right.
Right.
That's just not the right place. Now, I'm not going to get off in Monty's message. Now, Monty, don't be dragging me over there. He says, for this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother, shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Why does he do that? Because the church is a family.
Right.
And it is supposed to operate exactly the same way. Now, I don't want to go. Ephesians 4, right quick. Oh, Ephesians 6, 1, it says, children, obey your parents. So husbands are supposed to love, right?
Mm-hmm.
Wives are supposed to submit, right?
Yep.
And children are supposed to obey. Now, because the church is a family, guess what you have here? You have mothers, fathers, and children. You have older children, you have younger children, and you have, in the church you may have, and brand new babes, just born again last week or whatever. So, over here in what I tell y'all, 4?
Yeah.
I don't want to read all that. So let's read verse 11. He's talking about to the church. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, or that could be translated equipping, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, we just said a while ago how that the Bible says when you get born again, desire the sincere milk of the word, right? So that you may grow thereby. Well, none of us get born again and know everything about God,
right?
Know everything of how to please God, know everything that God has called us to do. This comes as you grow and you develop in your relationship with him. And then he says here that he gave some apostles, some pastors, some evangelists, some pastors and prophets and teachers for the equipping, for the perfecting of the saints. That would be the body of Christ. Okay, these are over the church. In the church, these are the authority. These are the governing powers under Jesus himself. And he works through all of these. Sometimes he brings correction. Why? The Bible says whoever God loves, he chastens, right?
Mm-hmm.
He corrects. Somebody that needs correcting, you know, they need to be open to correcting.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure Blake don't like it when Mama gets on to him or hits him like she did a while ago. It's a little painful. Now, he might like to act like it's not, but we can hear the sound of it, so we know better. Well, evidently, he needed a little bit of correcting. And that's one thing that people do not want today.
Yep.
All right.
Don't tell me nothing. We have that in the home. We have that in society. We have that on TV. The dad is just dumb as dirt on TV. The kids run the house. Your kids are never smarter than you.
Right.
I don't care if they can do Common Core math and all this other stuff. And you can't let that thinking get in you. Why? Because that's wrong thinking. Because if you're the parent, you're the one that has the leadership authority.
Right.
Why? To help those kids grow up and develop and know how to serve God, know how to be productive in society, and all that other kind of stuff. So he says here that he gave all these for that. And then you go on and he says, till we all come in the unity of the faith. That's where he's bringing us all to. And it says, and of the knowledge of the Son of God. It's not just book knowledge. You go back to Matthew 16, what we read. Peter got revelational knowledge. It's directly from God. All the time we should be getting revelation knowledge of who he is. Seeing more of who he really is in our spirits. He says, unto a perfect, or you could say mature man. You're not a baby anymore. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children. He says, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Now, I have had people tell me directly to my face. Now, let me back up just a little bit before I say that. Now, I know we here know, but you got to remember, I'm talking to Facebook, I'm talking to India, I'm all over the place. You know, so I'm not just talking to, God's not just talking to us that are here. We know, according to, 1 Corinthians 12 over there, where it says God sets us in the church as it pleases him. God has a place in the body to be connected. Why? Number one, you need to grow, honey.
Right.
I need to grow. I'm a baby. We all get born again. We all need to grow. So he sets some in the church. He says, as it pleases him. I don't get to pick and choose where I go. I don't get to pick and choose if I'm a prophet or apostle or just ministry of helps and all that. God has my life planned out. God has everybody's life planned out. And it's for us to get in here and grow and develop and have leadership over us so that we can grow and develop. But I've had people tell me straight to my face, well, I'm just a church hopper. That's just what I do. And they think that's just okay. According to Scripture, that's not okay. And because of it, you'll see these same people, they'll be up for a while. Woo-hoo! Got the victory. And they'll be down. They'll be up. They'll be down. One of the reasons for that is because you have to get wherever God has chosen for you to be. And this fivefold ministry that he has placed in your life, they will help you grow. And another thing that they will do, if they're good leadership, will help you be accountable.
Amen.
Everybody has to be accountable. If you have an office or job here, unless you're about half dead, you better get to doing it. If you got to do it in a chair like I'm doing this, see, we moved out. I'm not having that problem right now of thinking.
Amen.
So, if I can sit up here in the chair and do what I'm doing right now with all this junk that goes on in my head, surely if you stomped your toe, you can come and do whatever it is you need to do.
Right.
One of the things that being accountable will help you do will help you learn some endurance,
yep.
Will help you to be faithful. Faithfulness is already on the inside of every born-again believer because it's a fruit that the Spirit produces when he comes in.
Man.
But now that fruit has to be exercised if it's going to grow and develop.
Right.
And I mean, and not just that, you know, and I've had people tell me, well, I'm going to church to get my blessing. How baby and selfish is that?
Right.
I don't ever come here to be blessed.
Right.
I'm blessed when I'm at home.
Right.
I'm blessed all the time. I don't come here to get blessed. But that tells me a little bit about their level of where they are.
Right.
Because see, when I come here, I come here to work. I come here to bless y'all. I come here to be a help. I come here to obey the Lord. Yes, sure, I worship him. I praise him and all that while I'm here. I have good fellowship with y'all. But I do not come here to be blessed.
Right.
And people that think like that, if they don't need a blessing, if they're doing pretty good,
right,
they don't go.
Yep.
So therefore, according to this verse, you're going to be children and you're going to be tossed to and fro, to and fro.
Yep.
The devil's not going to have a real hard time with you.
Right.
Because, well, number one, you're probably very emotionally moved. You go by what you see. You go by what you feel instead of walking and living by faith. Another thing that this is for, because God doesn't just see this church. Whenever Scotty was sitting on the bucket trying to figure out how to do this stage and would sit there and pray and ask the Lord, you know, God, how do you want? Because we don't know how to do nothing. Y'all have no idea. We don't know how to do none of this stuff. But we do try our best to be led and seek the Lord. And he's sitting there and God told him, he said, you see a church? He said, I see generations. And I had no idea, but right now at this time, there's five generations of my family that fellowship in this house. I had no idea that was going to happen. But that's how God intends for things like that to happen. Now, it's been, what, September will be 3 years ago. Y'all know Scotty had a heart attack, open heart surgery, whole nine yard, go back in, blah, 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 all of that. What if he had died? I shouldn't say the word die because you don't ever really die. What if he had passed from this life to go be with the Lord? Y'all ain't saying nothing.
Nobody take his
blood. I already have a lot of decisions at home to make. I have personal decisions to make. I would have business decisions to make. And then I have church decisions to make. So, based on whatever God tells me, we're either going to have to close this down, because I need to hear from him. We're either going to have to close this down, and we're done. Y'all going to have to be led go wherever he tells y'all to go. Or I'm going to have to bring somebody in from the outside to pastor this church. Or one of y'all are going to have to pastor this church, or I'm going to have to pastor this church. And babies can't pastor this church.
Right.
Just like what's going on with me right now, and I need to help. I need somebody to help Cassandra in the nursery. Just imagine if I didn't do all of what I do. I got to do somebody else's. So we all have to be growing up. Why? Because God doesn't just see you. He sees everybody at one time. And we all have to be endeavoring to grow up in him so it can be revealed to us what we're supposed to be doing. Because one day, y'all may be the pastor somewhere. I have no idea. God's not spoken to me anything. I know some will stay here, some will go out. But one day you may be the pastor. And let me tell you something. The Bible says if you can't handle your own little house, you can't take care of the church of God.
Right.
It will break you. And the more people that you get, the more strict you have to be. Why? You can lollygag around a little bit when you got one kid, but when you got five, you got five got to do homework, you got five got to eat supper, you got five got to get a bath, you got five got to be in a bed by 8 or 9 o'clock. So you got to be on the ball. It's the same way in the church. The more people that you get, the more problems that you get. Why? Because people have problems. And it's our job as leaders to help fix those problems. That's why God sends them to us. And then in the process of them growing up, God fully intends that one day, they just was hot. God telling Brother Brad to turn the church over to Oni up there. That never would have happened if Oni would have stayed a baby. He couldn't. God couldn't do that. Why? God loves his people, and he's not going to just entrust anybody or any old thing to the care of his people.
Right.
So we all have to be growing. We all have our own personal walk with God. Then we have a walk with one another. Right? So that's what he says this fivefold ministry is for. So therefore, what's going to have to happen? I'm going to have to hear from God where I need to be, number one, in the house of the Lord. Planted. Right? The Bible says if you're planted, you'll flourish. Not if you uproot yourself every couple of months.
Right.
You know, I had another guy tell me, you know, well, I'm going to another church. You know, that's just what I do. I don't stay anywhere long. And I'm like, you've been saved 50 years.
Right.
please. This has got to stop. Why? Because we're talking about what is some of the biggest hindrances to the church. And this kind of stuff can't be blamed on the devil because he doesn't have that kind of power over a believer.
Right.
A newborn baby Christian can cast out a devil. Ain't no problem if they just had a little knowledge. If they've heard that they can and they act on it and they do it, that devil's gone. So what we have to do, number one, is find out where God wants us to be. Be planted there. Have our personal relationship with God. Be faithful to go and submit ourselves to these fivefold ministries. And then also, there'll be heads of ministries under those, just like what kind of like what we have here. You know, Sandy has a class. April has a class. I'm over nursery, you know. Darce is over that down yonder. Different things. And the more stuff that we do, and the more people we've got to have to be heads over that. And when I say heads, I don't mean boss. I mean oversee it the way the pastor or whoever the leadership is over you. And if you have a problem with that, is there ever a disagreement in a family? Sure. Yeah. Lots of them. But that doesn't mean you just quit. That doesn't mean you ever disrespect. That doesn't mean you rebel. Just like the story of the guy that I told you last week, that he was a young convert, and he did what Brother Brad said. He did hear from God. God knew, Brother Brad knew about the situation. But he asked him not to share it that night. Come to find out, the people that was involved in the situation that God had showed him, they wasn't even there that night. So it did no good, and it brought only chaos and confusion. And he never came back to church again. See, all that could have been, but in his ignorance, Sandy, I believe it was his ignorance, because he hadn't been saved too long or anything. You know, I didn't even know what was going on at the time. But we have to submit ourselves to God and to his leadership that he puts over us. And in submitting to the leader, listen, can leadership be wrong? Sure they can. Has parents ever been wrong?
Yes.
Look at Blake, look at April. He's like, yes. Sure they can. Why? There's none of us arrived at 100% Christ perfection and know everything all the time yet. That's where faith comes in. If you know the character, the Bible says, know those who labor among you. If you know pretty much the character and the integrity of your leadership, you know, a lot of times it can help you to, by faith, yield to them, because usually leadership sees a way bigger picture than somebody that's just sitting out there. Now, but we have to submit ourselves to that, because number one, leadership can't make you submit. Can't nobody make you submit. That is an act of your own will.
Right.
But I can tell you this. The Bible says, submit yourself therefore unto God. Resist the devil, and he will flee. So I'm telling you right now, if you will submit, and remember, I'm talking to people all over the world, yourself to the leadership God has put over you, you are submitting to God. And I can tell you, that's humbling to people. Yeah, and it doesn't always have to be good leadership or leadership that you think is right. You might say, well, God wouldn't expect me to submit to anybody like that. Y'all remember David and Saul? Saul kept disobeying God, and he got him an evil spirit that come to him. Guess who they called to come play the harp to get the devil gone? And while he's sitting there playing the harp, what's he do? Throws a javelin at him. Now you talk about bad leadership. I might have thought, God, you made a mistake here. And he's next in line to be king. And got to sit under that. See, you guys are next in line to whatever it is that God has you for, has for you. And you might not always like the decisions made here. I don't even like the decisions made here. If I was in control of this, things would be a lot different, I can guarantee you. But I'm not in control. And so a lot of times people think, well, pastor's in control. He can do. No, he's not.
That's right.
I can tell you right now, if it was all just up to him, things would be a lot different. And God forbid Travis ever gets control around here. That's not going to be good. Until the Lord helps him to the place that he put him there. I'm just kidding. Let's see where I want to go here. Look at Hebrews. Just put it up on the screen, Zach. We won't turn to these unless you just want to. Hebrews 13:7. To just bear out a little bit of what I'm saying here.
You said 13:7?
Yeah, is that not what I got down?
He told me to preach law.
Yeah, Hebrews 13:7 and then verse 17. It says, remember them which have the what?
Rule
over you. Who have spoken unto you the word of God. So we know he's not talking about the cops. Right?
No.
Whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Verse 17, please. Obey them that have the rule over you. Did the Bible really just say that?
No.
Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Now, let's go over to, let me read this here, Ephesians right quick. Let me find my verse. Ephesians, yeah, just go up to the top of the page, verse 1. He says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love. Notice this verse. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We can never lose that.
Amen.
And I'll show you why. Let's go to Genesis 11. I want you to say something here. Now, these people here in Genesis 11 was in total disobedience to God. God had told them, go forth into all the earth. That is not what they done. Verse 1. It says, and the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower, whose top may reach into heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And that's what they were supposed to have done. God told them, scatter out, go cover the whole earth. It says, and the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people is what?
One.
Now, these people's in disobedience to God. Said they are one, people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Let me read that in the Amplified. It says, and the Lord said, behold, they are one people, and they have all one language, and this is only the beginning of what they will do. And now nothing they have imagined they can do will be impossible for them. Verse 7, go to, let us go down, and therefore confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. And he goes on and says, therefore, that's why it's called Babel. These people are in disobedience to God, but they're in total unity with one another. And this ain't five or six people. This is a whole bunch of people here.
Right.
They're building a tower. They've got people. I'm sure they got people that's architects. They've got people that is making the brick. They got people going to get the dirt. Well, why am I saying all that? Because you got different people in different offices, and they're all in unity and obedience to one another, working on this same project in unity with one another. And God says nothing they have imagined to do will be impossible to them. So therefore, you bring that over here in the church, and we get in the unity of the Spirit with one another, and there's no willful unbelief and no rebellion or disobedience. There's nothing we can't do that God says.
Amen.
Absolutely nothing.
Right.
Now look at Luke 11. For time's sake, I'm going to start reading verse 14. And it's talking about Jesus. Excuse me. And he was casting out a devil, and it was dumb. Excuse me. And it came to pass, when the devil was gone out, the dumb spake, and the people wondered. But some of them said, he casteth out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of the devils. And others tempting him sought of him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falleth. If Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because you say that I cast out devils through Beelzebub. Then he goes on and says, by who do your sons cast them out? Now let me read that in the Amplified. It says, but he, well aware of their thoughts and purpose, said to them, every kingdom split up against itself is doomed and brought to desolation, and so house falls upon house. The disunited household will collapse. And if Satan is divided against himself, how will his kingdom last? It can't. It absolutely cannot. The Bible says, I'm trying to think now where it says it at, but y'all probably know whenever I say it. I'm thinking Obadiah, but I'm not sure. The Bible says, how can two walk together unless they be agreed?
Right.
I can't walk with the Lord unless I'm in agreement with him.
Right.
I can't walk with you. What does that mean, walk with? It means we have one mind, one goal, one heart, one purpose after one thing, right? And I can't be together and walk with you if you're walking with the Lord, unless I'm walking with the Lord. Why? Because same reason why you don't mix light with darkness. They don't have the same purpose. They're not in agreement. They cannot walk together. So he says there, even the devil himself, if his house gets divided, which it don't, you can go over there and read in Ephesians chapter 6, and it tells you the ranks of demons that Satan's over and all this, and they don't break ranks. You don't ever see a demon, and they have different levels of authority, but you never see a higher level devil coming over here and casting out a lower level devil. Just doesn't happen. The devil doesn't cast out the devil. Right. And that's one of the things they was saying that Jesus was doing. Why? His house is not divided. We can't be divided. We can't be divided in here. We can't be divided with other Christians, body of Christ all over the world. Why? Because if that's the case, then we are not helping Jesus build the church. We are not helping Jesus build his kingdom. We are actually being used of the devil to tear it down.
Right.
Excuse me. I've got like 4 minutes. We'll probably just stop on that because I have to get into a whole other thing there. And this will give y'all time if y'all want to say something. Is there any questions or comments or anything on this subject before we close?
Good.
And I know sometimes some of this stuff is hard to hear. It's hard for me to hear when God says, submit to Scotty. I don't want to. In my flesh, God, you want to say something, baby?
There is one church that I know.